Hello, I am Yogini Sunita, and this is Meditation, Yoga and Stuff podcast. I believe my dharma or my life's purpose is to share my understanding of meditation, yoga and Ayurveda, holistic healing science of India. I make these amazing wisdoms accessible and adaptable for present times. So let's start.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. In today's podcast episode, I am discussing how we can bring wisdom of yoga into this now, in this present moment, in this modern time. Shannon Crow from the Connected Yoga Teacher podcast is asking the questions and I'm answering the questions about yoga.
Sunita, it's so great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me here, Shannon. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm very excited that we're going to dive in and talk about how yoga philosophy can support us right now, because sometimes I think that we read yoga philosophy and it feels like it maybe applies to like some really spiritual person sitting up in a mountain meditating, and maybe it doesn't always apply to real life. So I'm excited that we get to talk about that. But before we get there, do you want to tell our podcast listeners what is the work that you do and who do you do it for?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Shannon. My name is Sunita Patil, and I've been teaching yoga, Ayurveda, meditation, and Sanskrit many years now. I've been teaching it almost, it sounds, makes me feel very old, sounds like, you know, 30 years now. And I have my own practice as well. And I work for myself. So we can call it like self-employed. I also work with other teachers, like I do freelance, I teach a lot of teacher trainings. I am based in Australia at the moment, but I have lived in US for 8 years, and then I moved to Australia. So I have been teaching these wisdoms for many years, but my original studies is in computers, and I had done master's in computers, and I realized that working in corporate world is something doesn't sit right with me. I'm more a free bird. And my calling is yoga. And the more I started walking on path of yoga, the more I became like I'm at home. And so I had to take that decision that this is who I am. You know, this is my calling. And once I realized this is my dharma, I started enjoying this path thoroughly, you know. And so it took some time to come to this conclusion, but it has been interesting and very amazing journey. So that's who I am. That's what I do.
And so how has yoga philosophy, how do you see it supporting you or other yoga teachers right now? And how can it support us? Like where do we start if we're like, okay, you know what? I really like to lean on yoga. A lot of people think about, you know, the physical benefits or the calm that we get when we're in yoga class. I don't know how many yoga teachers listening go back to yoga philosophy to find that support. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
That's a beautiful question. We have gone, whole humanity has gone through so much last couple of years. We have been like pandemic has hit hard. Like it was so sudden, we were not prepared mentally, emotionally, and physically, we could say. And with the yoga philosophy, it's basically coming back to stillness. But a lot of time, yoga philosophy is taught in such a way that it feels like unapproachable. It feels like too out there. And so the first introduction a lot of yoga teachers get is through our Yoga Sutra, you know, through teacher trainings. Yoga Sutra is offered, and it sounds very like, you know, it's very hard to connect initially because suddenly we just focused on chitta vritti nirodha. You know, suddenly those sentences, Sanskrit sentences, are thrown towards us, and you start thinking, what's happening? I'm here to bring the peace in mind, and what's happening? So first thing we need to understand that Sanskrit is language of yoga, but that doesn't mean that you have to know Sanskrit. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the where the origin of yoga kind of thing, the history of yoga. So we need to understand one thing, that we are unique fingerprint of divine. So keep that in mind. And there is important thing why I'm saying this. So keep that in mind, that we are unique fingerprint of divine. And path of yoga is not just one path. There are many, many paths. So traditionally, it was called Sanatan Dharma. That means eternal path of living. Okay, so everyone has their own path. And so we need to understand that there were many, many paths. And we try to, when we start practicing yoga, we think that there is only one style, or maybe there are more styles, but how can we embody and make it ours? The thing is, we're trying to make sense of this whole world in our own way, and it is going to be our own unique experience. So Yoga Sutra is basically all about stilling the mind. The physical asana is a small part of it. And asana practice is always bringing the energy, aligning our energy. So we are made out of energy. And when there is blockages in energy, what happens is we kind of like start feeling unwell mentally, physically, and emotionally, obviously. And so we remove these blockages by physically moving the body. Now we can connect with asana very well, because we understand that moving arm up or down or side or folding forward or back, all this we understand because this is tangible. Body is something we can connect with. So that's a beautiful connecting point. If we tell our clients to just, you know, or for even for ourselves, sit still, even though maybe we are physically strong, sitting still, it's very difficult. We know that. Like, I have been there. I have tried all the technique, like I have ran away from meditation so much. I can't tell you like how many excuses. I know all the excuses under the sun not to meditate. And the reason for that is I was I didn't know what to expect. And so I was trying to find out my own path. And I come from very traditional yoga teaching, and I wasn't connecting with that a lot. So I was like, okay, I need to find my own way, my gentle way, not that, you know, like I had to sit in cross-legged position. It wasn't about that. So I had to find out a way which is right for me. So as I said, every human being is a unique fingerprint of the divine. We have our own unique path. So what is peace to you? What is spirituality to you? What is calm to you is really individual. And so samadhi, or moving towards stillness, is very unique as well. So we need to first thing understand that there is, even in samadhi, there are many types of samadhi. So the enlightenment has many types. We need to understand that, because the reason for that is because we are many, and we have our own sanskaras, our own experiences in this life, and we're going to have our unique experience. And so as a yoga teacher, we're trying to make sense of all this vast wisdom of yoga. We're talking about thousands and thousands of years of wisdom. Now, we can sit down and try and learn it. It will take few lifetime, but how can we embody it at this moment? So the simple things, like, well, how can we make it simple? My intention is, how can I make it simple to adapt to my life, this modern life? So when I had, my daughter was little, I realized that I cannot meditate in the morning. I used to drop her to school, come home, and then sit down, you know, and meditate for some time. Then came time I was working full time, and then I had to find a way. So lunchtime was the time. I tried evening and it didn't work. Like I used to fall asleep because I was so tired. So all this is something, it's basically beautiful self-discovery. Please do not think that, you know, it has to be a certain way, because yoga philosophy nowhere tells us that it has to be a certain way, right? Let's take example of Ishwara Pranidhan. That means surrendering to the divine. But nowhere Yoga Sutra tells us that what is that divine for you. It could be nature. It could be the gods and goddesses, or divine feminine, masculine. It could be anything. And this is the beauty of yoga. Like you can adapt it according to your need. Now you can see some tradition have adapted it into the religion part of it, thinking that people will follow, you know, and that's what happens. But there is no need to follow certain way. You can create your own way. And that's how originally it started. And that's how it should be. So getting caught into these, like, oh, I have to do this. That's not right. Like, find a way to bring peace and calm in your own life, in your own way, because you have your own path and you have your own understanding of this peace. So that's what my suggestion to all yoga teachers is, that, you know, what is peace to you? What is spirituality to you? What is the divine for you? And then tune into that and self-discovery, like enjoy that process.
I really like how you said, you know, that finding that divine could be a connection with nature. So I know when I took my yoga teacher training, the Ishvara, I was like, I am really struggling with this. So that was like a light bulb moment right now when you're saying it's different for everyone. Is there, if a yoga teacher said to you, okay, I definitely know that the philosophy can support me, like, what books should I read or what teacher should I follow? Like, that's the other thing. Aren't there so many different translations or interpretations of yoga philosophy out there?
Yeah, I struggled a lot as well. And so I was lucky enough to learn Sanskrit as a part of my one of the subjects in school. And I also read translations before, you know, and then when I read the actual, say, for example, Bhagavad Gita, the translations were this long, but Bhagavad Gita is this small, you know. So it is interpretation of that teacher or that person. So it's really their take on it. And so what I suggest is you can read good yoga teachers' books, you know, or good interpretations. But remember that they are interpretations. They're not really the actual thing. Let me explain a little bit here. Let's take example of Bhagavad Gita, which is again one of the considered one of the book on philosophy, yoga philosophy. But what is Bhagavad Gita is basically they have the idea or concept is they have taken this lot of paths of yoga and try to bring in together, and it's all about that. So you can see there are two way of looking at it. You can see that the divine is out there and you are here and you are surrendering to the divine, is said at one point. You can also see that because Yoga Sutra is even distilled information of Bhagavad Gita. So Yoga Sutra, that's why it's like engineers, literally as precise as engineer. Not even one word is wasted in Yoga Sutra. So it's a distilled information of Bhagavad Gita. And you can see that there is, in Yoga Sutra, they have not wasted, like they're not talking about any gods or any goddesses, or there is no Krishna, or there is no, you know, Shiva or anything like that. Because you don't need that for yoga philosophy to move towards path of enlightenment. If you have that, that's fine. You know, if you have some that kind of like powerful image, it really helps us. But it's like you are trying to fly across a beautiful ocean. If you try it in first go, it is not going to happen. But what if there are rocks which we can sit for some time? So there, you know, you take a jump and then you build strength in your wings and you take next jump. So this is how these deities or these works. But it towards, if you notice in Yoga Sutra, it is said that even that we have to let go.
Right.
So the path is simple, actually. We can make it very simple. We can get caught into the rituals. We get caught into the whole, I need to read more. Or you can make it simple. And you can make it simple in a way like, in this now, it's all about this now, right? In this now, what is the truth? The truth here is I'm living this life in maybe this modern city, you know, and I'm not living in Himalaya. I have to pay bills. I have to do the business of yoga, which yogis didn't have to do it. And how can I still do it with compassion, with ahimsa? Ahimsa is beautiful and first principle of yoga. So how can I bring ahimsa first towards myself? How can I be kind in my dialogue with myself? How can I be kind towards myself? How will I treat myself with kindness? That should be the first step, because we have to start with ourselves. Once we start doing that, we start realize that our tone with others will change as well. A lot of times, especially I've seen a lot of women yoga teacher are extremely caring for others, but don't look after themselves. And this is not right, because then we are not really, we are constantly emptying our cup and not really filling it up. We need to fill up our cup. And it's very important to understand that self-care, in this case, Ahimsa is talking about that, you know, how the thoughts, kindness in your thoughts, kindness in your looking after yourself, your needs are not selfish. You need to understand that. And looking after yourself, there is a lot of guilty feeling. I've seen that women, we have this, that, oh my God, you know, I'm putting myself first. We have to need to understand that it is necessary to look after ourselves. Then we can look after others better. So ahimsa is first principle of yoga. So we can bring that in our life. If we just bring in ahimsa in all aspect of our life, we start noticing that the life almost, you know, it changes, because that ahimsa is the way to go, basically. That first principle is amazing. And as I said, how to bring ourselves into this now. So our inhale and our exhale is this now. There is the breath which is going to come after this is going to be future. The breath which was before it was past. So in this now, in this breath, so any time if you can connect with your breath during your busy time running around, you know, just taking slow, steady breath without forcing anything, then we are bringing ourselves within us. We are bringing ourselves, connecting with ourselves. And that helps us to bring grounding in ourselves. And once we have that, we start to see through the chaos. So the more we connect with our breath, just gently, like you don't have to like stop doing what you're doing. Just connect. How is your breath? What's happening with your breath? That self-inquiry is beautiful. And on the topic of Bhagavad Gita, if you see what is the Arjuna, if you know the story, I don't know if you know the story of Bhagavad Gita, but the main character, Arjuna, it starts with he's in complete meltdown. He is this warrior who has not lost any war, but now he sees that his relatives are standing against him, and he's completely meltdown. So much so that this strong, healthy warrior cannot pick up his own bow and arrow, which was like he was shaking. He was like, if you read the information, it's the same symptoms as someone going through a panic attack. You know, he is shaking. He's questioning everything. He is asking questions about why I'm doing this. You know, is there a point to this? You know, and we all sometimes go through these kind of things, maybe not to that level, but like, you know, sometimes we do question this. And so remember that the sages were human beings too, and they or the rishis, or the yogis, ancient yogis were human beings too, and they try to make sense of this world in their own way and try to bring peace, and they were able to do that. And we as a human being living in this point at this moment, it is possible, because I also see that a lot of yoga teachers have this thought of I'm like imposter syndrome, or they start thinking that, oh, I don't know if I'm doing this right, or you know, all these are thoughts, these are just, you know, kind of like stopping us from bringing peace in our life. So trust in your gut, and you should do it in your own way. So how can you bring peace in your life in your own way? That's the true essence of yoga philosophy.
I have so many thoughts now. Well, one, I feel like, are there any takeaways of what Arjuna did then in this like time of complete overwhelm and questioning everything?
Yes, he did. He had a good friend who was his charioteer, which was Lord Krishna. And the Krishna basically talked him through it. And right. So that's what it is. So we need an amazing companion or friend or someone to talk to.
Right.
And so the Sangha, the concept of like-minded people is very important. So having your community, your people, your friends who you can pick a phone and talk with them, you know, like, hey, hang on a minute, and I just need you to listen. And I have a couple of friends like that. I just call them, like, I just send them text, call, question mark, and they'll say yes or no today, you know, and we just talk hours, like basically sometimes, and they do the same, like it's a channel for both of us, but it's basically you need to have someone to who with whom you can talk, you know. And here the Arjuna had Krishna. Krishna also was wise, but it is also said that the Bhagavad Gita is added later. It is said that the dialogue Arjuna had was actually with his own higher self.
Oh.
So it wasn't out there, it was within him. So it is mind-boggling, you know. So
okay, the other question I have now, because you talked about like for in the moment that we're in right now, and that the yogis and the sages were human.
Yeah.
I think it can be very easy to look at or to experience what it's like to maybe go away on a retreat or go to a yoga teacher training where you are surrounded by lots of people who it's like their normal day to day to sit in meditation and walk in nature and do the yoga. And when we leave that place, like maybe we go back to our life, go back to our kids, go back to our job, whatever we're doing, I think sometimes there can be this sense of failure, or like, I need to go back to a retreat. So what ideas do you have in that for those of us who can't be on retreat full time in our lives?
I wish we all could, but yeah, I understand. The thing is, this is basically looking at like what aspect of retreat you really like. So it could be the nature, it could be the beautiful food you had, or it could be the connecting with the people. So tune into that. What is it you really like? We always say, oh, I really loved it. We from Australia, we love to go to Bali. You know, and Australia has one of the beautiful beaches, you know, the beaches are beautiful. The ocean is absolutely beautiful. But we go to Bali to experience that. It's very interesting, like it's here. But we're trying to kind of like we created this thing that, oh, Bali, you know, this and that. But you can create the atmosphere here. So your daily routines will be very impactful to create that experience. So, for example, adding, if you loved the nature part of it, finding a place where you can go for walk, connecting with nature at least once a week, if not every day, because I understand life can be very busy, but like hiking, you know, adding something in relation to nature, what you like. If you're near water, like water has something, like natural body of water has something which is very beautiful, which we can connect with. And so if you are, or mountains is another thing, like the reason why we are connecting with these beings of like a water body or mountain is basically it brings in grounding. And so how can we bring that grounding in our life? So there are ways to bring that grounding. You can do a grounding yoga practice. You can do it in a beautiful atmosphere. You can create atmosphere. You can bring in more plants in your life, like nature anyway. Like if you, I know that in Sydney, like some people live in units or you can say apartments and things like that. And then how can we bring in nature? But you can still create your sanctuary. You can still create that beauty. So surround yourself with beauty and surround yourself with what the aspect of that retreat you like. And the, and also please don't feel guilty that you like to go on retreats.
Right.
You know, that's important thing also, because we all know do need a change, you know, human beings, we're designed like that. So how human brain works is the frontal brain, which is our, which makes us human, which needs a change, through which we experience our humanness, we experience the experience of meditation. It needs change. And then we have the back brain, which is our reptilian brain, which needs regularity. So there is duality here, and we're trying to find that balance already. So how can we do that? So find some rituals which are very valuable for you, and then some rituals which you can let go of, like thinking of how can I bring in more stillness and peace? And if we start looking at that, like in Australia, we have beautiful cafes. The cafe culture is beautiful. So every Sunday, I will try and go and have a beautiful coffee in a nice cafe. You know, that's my way of connecting with, it's not necessarily nature, it's just having that experience that, you know, a beautiful coffee made by this barista and enjoying that. And it's just that gives me peace, as equal to maybe as I go to Bali as well. So, you know, it's the same thing, you know. And so is it spiritual? For me, it is, you know. And so what is spiritual to you is going to be unique. I have been, when I was having coffee, one of my students walked away. She said, oh, my God, you drink coffee. And because as a yogi, apparently you shouldn't drink coffee. And I'm like, look, I drink coffee. I'm a human being. I'm not enlightened yet. So I need it and I enjoy it. And I thoroughly enjoy it. So just tuning into what is really important, bring that experience of connecting with nature, connecting with friend, connecting with maybe food, whatever you liked in that, or maybe all of that, connecting, bringing that into your daily life will be helpful. And again, as I said, there is no harm going on a good retreat. It's just a beautiful experience in itself, you know. Retreat locations are fantastic as well. They create that ambience. So enjoying that as well.
Well, I love that. I love thinking of like, how can we bring that to us? Are there some daily routines, or like you said, the coffee on Sundays, going to the cafe, I really like that. Are there other things that you add into your life that bring in that calm and that ease, and where you are taking care of yourself?
Yeah, there are a few things which I do. Basically, my meditation practice, I have one in morning and one in evening. They're not long. Like the morning one is a little bit longer than the evening one. It's just centering myself. They are mantra-based practices. So I start my day with, obviously, Ayurvedic cleansing retreat. I'm still in retreat, sorry. Ayurvedic cleansing routines. So in Ayurveda, the first thing you do is cleanse your mouth. When you wake up, you cleanse your mouth, evacuate your bowels. So that's my part. That has been part of my life, like cleaning tongue, the teeth, the oil pulling and things like that. And brushing the teeth, that's the morning thing, then evacuating bowels. And then traditionally, I should take shower, but it's sometimes I get time, sometimes I don't get time. So I then I do my pranayam practices and meditation practices. It can be depend on how much time I have, like 10 minutes to half an hour. So that's my morning thing. Again, depending on how busy I am, but I definitely make sure that I sit down for at least a few moments and just connect with the breath, connect with the what's happening in the body, and then mantra. That's my start of the day. And then if possible, I can go for a walk. Like depending on how busy I am, I try to go to a walk. I live with place where there is a beautiful walk near river, and so walking, like, just I don't use my headphones or anything at that time. I used to listen to music going for walking, but I realized that I'm then not hearing the birds, I'm not hearing the beautiful, you know, sounds of nature. So I just stopped doing that, and I do half an hour to 1 hour walk depending on the day. Some days are crazy busy, though then I have to let go of the walk, but I don't let go of meditation. So meditation has been rock of my life. And then evening, before dinner, I will sit down and meditate. And I also have, so my mother used to do this little ghee lamp in front of the, I have some idols or, you know, goddess as statues and things like that. So I light a ghee lamp. But again, this is something, it makes me happy. And this is something makes me connected with that. What is divine to me, you know? And for me, the divine has been this experience of peace and calm. And I get it through the chanting of mantra. I get it through the lighting the ghee lamp. I truly believe that it creates ambience of peace and calm around me. And so the ghee lamp is a tridoshik. That means it balances all three doshas. And it clears the energy around the place we live in. So that's why I light the ghee lamp. But that's my logic. You know, that's my understanding. You don't have to. So finding rituals which will make sense to you, which will help you to connect yourself. I'm so sorry about that. Which will help you connect with yourself and also bringing peace in your life. So the peace and calm and love should be the priority. And we start with ourselves. We start with what makes sense to us. Now we're living with family, in kids. Sometimes it is, a lot is happening in the morning. So if mornings are not for you, then you can try and bring in what time of the day it will work. As I said, when my daughter was in school, I had to drop her here. There are no school buses in Australia, so I had to drop her. And after dropping her, I used to do my own practice. So finding a way to bring in the practices in your life, which will bring you peace and calm. And once in a while, I make sure that I also connect with like-minded people. At least once a week, I make sure that I talk with a couple of my friends. We chat about anything or nothing, or deep philosophy, doesn't matter. You know, it's good to have that, you know, connection with like-minded people as well. So these are the simple rituals. You can make it very elaborate, because Ayurveda has some 20 basic rituals. You can do your dinacharya, your daily routine. But I realize that I'm putting too much pressure on myself to create these rituals. And I needed to find out a way to make sense of it. Another thing is Ayurveda. I learned Ayurveda from male Ayurveda teachers. And in India, especially in India, the male Ayurveda teacher can say that, you know, you have to do, you can do this and this and this. But their breakfast is cooked by their wife. She is offering it.
Okay.
You know, So everything is handed to them. Like they can then do 20 steps in the morning, but can we do it? You know, and from my understanding, like my experience is no, like I had to, you know, prepare maybe lunches for kids and do this and that. So the morning is chaotic. And I had to acknowledge that it wasn't possible that time. Now it is possible that my daughter has moved out of the house and you know, I have my own time. But before it wasn't possible. And so finding a way to bring in your own rituals is the key. Some regularity, some irregularity. That's what we need.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
As someone who, like, my youngest of three kids now is 18, then I totally understand what you're saying about mornings and being busy and not being able to fit in. And then going through feeling like, am I doing this right? Because I'm not doing an hour of yoga or whatever. And also, I'm just so confused. There are no school buses in Australia. I feel like I never knew that.
No. So we have public transport, which is quite good. So the trains, the buses, and but where we lived, which was a little bit far away from that, so I had to drop her to the school, which was okay because we connected with each other. Like we used to listen to the music. It was a beautiful way to basically talk with a teenager at that time, what's happening in their life. So I had no complaints. So, but yeah, it's Australia is interesting. It is so many. We have beautiful weather throughout the year, so there's a lot of school holidays as well, a little bit more than rest of the world. So it's very interesting to juggling as a parent. Like it becomes like, oh, you just started school, why are you on holiday again?
Right.
So oh yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing this this idea that it's good to have that routine and that we really have to make it our own, and also that we thrive on also having a change and changing that up in some ways. I really like that, and I feel like that feels like a good fit for me. Is there anything else that you would tell a yoga teacher who's just feeling like life is a lot right now? In terms of some inspiration from yoga philosophy?
So I would suggest that don't make yoga or meditation one more stress in your life. You know, use yoga and meditation as a almost coming home kind of feeling, you know. So if you are stressing about, oh, I'm not meditating in the morning, I suggest that don't stress about it. Don't worry about it if you can't do it in the morning. Think that, okay, how can I bring it in my life? How can I bring stillness in my life? And it could be maybe at the moment, meditation may not be right for your life because there is a lot happening. So meditation also has what we call it sandhya side, or we call it a shadow side to it. And what does that mean is if our mind is extremely busy, we cannot relax. So if we throw ourselves into meditation, it is going to challenge our mind is going to challenge it. It is going to not still. So there are ways to, that's why there are eight limbs of yoga. So there are many doors to move towards stillness. So what if you start tuning into like what gives you peace? It could be that nature walk as we talked about. It could be a gentle asana practice, something different than what you teach, you know, bring in more maybe restorative yoga or something like that on those parts, just few moments for yourself. Your practice can be different than what you teach. So tune into that. Like what? So I'll give you an example. When I teach stronger practices, my own practice will be gentle. So I try to balance that yin and yang, try to bring in more of that. Like whatever, and whenever we are offering too many asana classes, then try and focus on finding rest as well. So maybe that day, do yoga nidra practice, do shavasana practice, which is a guided shavasana. And initially, if people find meditation is too difficult, guided meditation is the best way to go, to be very frank. Till your overwhelm is reduced, guided meditation will help. It is because we're trying to calm the system down. The system is too much into sympathetic mode at the moment. We don't know, like, the new normal is different. There are a lot of changes happened. There is so much, like, I can talk about the pandemic and mind, how it affected mind. But we have gone through that, so I'm not going to go there. We all know what we experience, and we still see that. And the impact of that is still there. Like, economically, we are now going to start seeing, like, how it is impacting us as well on so many levels. So there are a lot of worries, there are a lot of stress of that. So how can I bring stillness and peace? So guided meditation may help. Walking in nature may help. Good sangha, good company will help. So start bringing in more parasympathetic mode in your life. Slow and steady, bring in maybe restorative practice, maybe calming, just breath awareness, as I said, like, just few moments. Anytime you remember, just tune into your breath and take 3-4 gentle breath. When I say deep breath, people go into, like, really big, labored breath. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking right. about just notice your breath, just tune into your breath. And then just these things, like these suggestions, if you see that they already, if we weave them into our life, they started bringing in more parasympathetic mode. And then when you feel ready, you can start doing a little bit longer meditation. So always work with your body, with your mind, never against it. And so when we start really listening, the mind's chatter will slow down. Because that's what sometimes mind wants, you know, to listen to the mind. So what if we listen? And 10 minutes, you can start with 2 minutes meditation. Maybe then increase 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. So don't set a goal which is, don't set yourself a failure. Because I have gone through that as well. Like, I used to say, oh, I will meditate for 1 hour. And I realized that it's very difficult to meditate for 1 hour.
It is. Very right difficult. Yeah.
So acknowledging that. And also remember that there are many ways to meditate. There is not a single path either. So find a way which will work for you and stay with that for at least 21 days. So that you are creating new neurological groove. That's why yoga has sadhana. Yoga philosophy has sadhana. Sadhana means practices. And so when you do, like, so you can start with 7 days practice, then increase it and celebrate that. That's what the festivals are in India, right? So you do 9 nights of goddess, and then you celebrate that on 10th day. The celebration is about you have done this. You have done this, like, celebrating that. So how can we embody that in our life now? So you can do, like, maybe 7 days or 5 days practice. And the celebration, I'm not saying that, you know, open bottle of champagne. That's not the celebration. Celebration can be, you know, really doing something nurturing, like, you know, I like to go for acupuncture or massage or something like that, which is a reward that also I enjoy. Or, you know, I do it sometimes, I do it with my friends, like some practices, and then we come together talk about experience. That could be celebration. And so you can start with 5 days, 7 days practices. You can increase to 21 days, like, slow and steady. But if we start doing this and continue increasing this, you can take up 21 days again, or you can take 40 days now. And you will notice that year goes past really fast. As we know, the time passes really fast. And you look back and you already have done so much. You have created beautiful rituals. You have experienced different things. You will also experience that some practices are not for you. And that's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Find a practice which is right for you. And so that's why there are so many beautiful meditations. Music, not music, really up to you. I personally don't like it during meditation. I truly believe that there is not necessary, but like some of my friends love meditation with music. Up to you, really make it your own, make sense for yourself. That's what I would suggest. And this is, we are modern yogis exploring this path of yoga. So trust in that. It is, yes, there is a lot of wisdom there, but also we're living in this time, this modern time, and making sense of all this for this time. So in this now, how can I bring in peace? How can I make sense of all this, what's happening around me, and still stay connected with my, the divine within, you know? And we're all unique fingerprint of divine. So our path is going to be unique. So choose what feels right for you in this moment. And also as we grow in the practice, we'll change the practice. So that is also important because you may change the meditation practice with the age, you know, and that's okay too. Like, you know, you may have more time now. In my case, as I said, my daughter moved out now. I have more time. I can sit for meditation for a long period of time now. So, and I can do it twice, like once in the morning, once in the evening, which wasn't possible earlier. So it's really making it your own. And evolving, like basically self-inquiry, that's what it is. Yoga is all about that. That's what I believe in. And moving towards peace, enlightenment, if it happens, wonderful. If it doesn't happen, that's fine too. You know, it's just keeping that attitude of gratitude constantly, you know, having like this experience is also important, what we are having in our life. And learning from that, okay, this works for me, this doesn't work for me. So choosing the things which will give you grounding, peace and calm, and that feeling of home. That's what I call it. I feel when I'm on yoga mat, I feel at home, and I truly enjoy that. And it doesn't have to be like hours, 10 minutes is okay too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love this. I love the thought of not making it another stress, really making it this place where we feel like we're coming back home. Thank you so much for all of this.
I hope you enjoyed this reverse interview with Shannon Crow. And if you have any questions about in relation to yoga, Ayurveda, how to deal with stress in this life, and about heartfelt businesses, I'm happy to help you through mentoring. I can help you with any way I can. So you can head over to my website and book a session if you want. Or about it, the session can be about yoga, Ayurveda, and meditation. It can be about your heartfelt business. It can be about your struggles as a yoga teacher. I'm happy to help you with any of that. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you. Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate that you're taking this time out of your day. Don't forget to subscribe. Take care. Bye for now.